Welcome to Flyover Conservative Podcast with David and Stacey Whited, where we break down current events and examine culture through the lens of conservative Christian values.
That's good right there. It's picking up speed. Go, go, go. Go, go, go. Go, go, go.
The past 28 years, I've probably had one of the coolest jobs in the world.
U.S. intelligence was using motion pictures to alter the thinking of Americans in the United States.
There's a very small group of people that influence all the companies that we watch.
Exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
Just disconnect for 5 minutes to figure out, what if I've been lied to? What if?
Wow.
Okay, 4 years ago today, a film came out, I'd say film slash documentary that changed our lives completely. Yep. We had never done one episode of the Flyover Conservative Podcast, and we'd been deep diving like a lot of you in 2020 and learning things. I thought we kind of knew, and then going down deeper. And then somebody put together a film that all of a sudden was like tight, capsule.
Shareable.
Family, friends, cousins, everybody were like, hey, watch this, watch this, because it put it all together in one context. Today is the anniversary, and we have what I consider one of our personal heroes on to break it down, because he starred in and made that movie, Mr. Mike Smith.
Yay!
Wow. You guys I don't even know what to say. Thank you.
Happy birthday.
4 years.
Happy birthday. But we should say.
Does it feel like it?
It's, yeah.
I say most people have either seen that movie or it's been a while since they've seen it. Even just seeing the trailer kind of wakes them back up. At the end of this interview, we're going to roll straight into the full form of Out of Shadows. And one reason we're talking about Out of Shadows and Mike Smith today is because the follow-up to that, which has been much anticipated,
yes,
we've been waiting. I wanted to see it when the last one is over. I'm like, I want more, mm-hmm, is Into the Light. So we're going to jump into that in a moment. But I just got to talk for a second. What impact did the release of this have on your life? And what kind of numbers, how many people saw that film? I know it went into many languages and all over the world. Did you have any idea how this would be received globally?
No. And I will tell you this. This is why I know that God, I don't know. I can just tell you, God anointed that film, and he kind of gave me the courage to make it. And it's funny, I was telling you before in the pre-show that I was trying to figure out when to release that film, because I've been working on it for a couple of years, and I was out and I was praying in the field, and I remember I just kept hearing 410, 410, 410. I'm like, what is that? Like a shotgun?
Right.
So I went in and looked on the calendar, and it was 4/10/20, and it said Good Friday. And I called the editor, and I go, I know the date we're releasing this film. It's going to be on 4/10/20. And I cannot believe it's been 4 years ago. It's just, but it got in the first year. I quit tracking the metrics the first year, but in the first year, we know it did over 100 million views.
Oh my gosh.
And it got translated into 24 different languages. And it just went, that's just God. I mean, there was no marketing plan. There was nothing. It was just, we thought if we get 100,000 people to watch this, we're going to be successful.
Wow.
And we had a million people in 24 hours to watch it. So it was crazy. I mean, it just went viral.
It did. And people were texting it to me. I remember, I received several texts in a short period of time. Have you seen this? You need to watch this. Have you seen this? So many people were texting it to us. They weren't just watching it themselves. They were wanting other people to see it as well.
Yeah. And then it gets me kicked off of YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, PayPal. I mean, I'm like, okay, I'm the crazy one. You know, but you know, it's just funny how it all works. And now, you know, it's back. Elon, now that he purchased X, I got my account back, so I'm back on X. And I was minus, you know, 75 or 80,000 followers, but I'm back.
Wow! So, and how can people find you, Mike, on X?
Because I was anonymous, I'm at Crux, and then my numbers are 41, 50, 72, 51. Yeah.
So CRUX, Crux.
We'll have the link to that below on every, whatever you listen to this. If you're on Podbean or Apple Podcast or Rumble or anywhere it's at, we'll have his Twitter handle down below, because you want to have that, because that's, you know, a good flow of future information, links and things that are available. But Stacey commented to something a moment ago. More than almost any film, it compels you, like, I want everyone to know this. I want to share this with other people. And so when they go to IntoTheLight.movie, there's an interesting, this is a sequel. There's the ability to pay this forward, to allow, hey, I'm gonna get this film and send it to a loved one, send it to a cousin. I think
you're talking about the new movie, Into the Light.
The new movie, Into the Light. But you create things in such a way, it's like, oh, this is so good. And the way that you tell things in story, it's like, you know, sometimes like you hear Tucker Carlson say something like, I've always thought that, I just couldn't say it like he did. Like, you, it's out there and people have this overwhelming sense of knowing what's going on in the world, but they struggle articulating it. And your ability to take not just clips, and it's not just clips with narration, you know, over the quality of the interviews, the way it's put together and the story arc, it all of a sudden things make sense, you know, and you couldn't have been set up better to be able to tell stories coming from that profession.
Well, I've worked in Hollywood, you know, I worked as a filmmaker for at different levels for 30 years. So it's like, you know, it's kind of like a body of work that gives you the experience to know when to truncate something or when to elongate something or how to set things up. And that just comes with time and experience. And honestly, it's it's God allowing me to have that perspective.
What did you learn about yourself as you made the first film? Because you were in this profession and then you sort of step back out of it, you know, almost probably in an out of body way, looking at an industry that you had been in for so long. You learned a lot about that industry because you made the movie, but what did you learn about Mike Smith as you were creating this film?
You know, that's a great question. You know, a lot of people that make films like this or Out of Shadows type films, they're not working when they're in Hollywood. Like, they don't have a job, or that they're not working. And I knew that. I think what the biggest part was, when Brad, the other stuntman in the film, said, you know, when we were actually talking about doing this, because we both knew, well, I knew for sure it was going to end my career. So, you know, I mean, not many, I mean, most people don't get to the point, the level that I was at ever. And I just was like, you know, if I really do believe this stuff and I really do believe in Christ. And, you know, that was the other thing. It was like, I would have told you I was a Christian most of my life, but I wasn't really I like the guy I am today versus the guy I was. And I try to just, you know, I keep giving it back to God, but that's really where it is. Because if it wasn't for him coming into my life and revealing the love and the light of Christ in my life, I would not have had the courage to walk away from something that most people could never get. And, you know, I learned a lot about what's really important in your life, what's really important Is it money? Is it fame? What motivates you? And to me, I feel like people deserve to know the truth. People deserve to understand that we've all been lied to. I don't care what religion you are. I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care where you live or what you know background you come from. We've all been lied to. I don't care if you're on the left or the right or in the middle. Mm-hmm. We've been lied to, and we all believe things to be true that are not true. And until you understand that, we can't begin to heal, and we can't begin to come together and solve the problem. Because it's like, how do you beat up an enemy that you don't even know you're fighting?
Yeah. You know, observing from the outside, it seems like you had a firm foundation in who your source was, that your source wasn't, you know, your job, your source was God. Your identity wasn't found in what you did, but whose son you were. Because looking from the outside, yeah. Because if everything was going to be stripped away, whether it be, you know, what you did for a job or the finances, and you still put it out, it seems like you kind of had those things in place before you released Out of the Shadow.
Well, I mean, I made Out of Shadows. If I was in a different position financially, obviously back then, but, and I gave it away.
It was free.
Yeah. And so I caught some grief a little bit after when I released this new one, because I charged for it. But I was like, man, people don't understand how much time it takes to pull all the clips, to assemble, to edit, to sound design, to do all that. So anyway, I made it the price of a cup of coffee.
I know it's ridiculous. it's nobody whatsoever.
Yeah, I just said, look, I just want to at least pay back the people that have helped me make the film. And then share it with the world. Like, this movie, I think, is more important, honestly. I think the second one, I mean, the first one frames the idea that you've been lied to and explains to you how that could happen. But the second one goes a lot deeper into psychological operations and how these organizations are actually run and how the narratives are selected and pushed and driven to the population to shape and mold reality. And that's, I think it's scary for people, this one, because I think people don't know how to react to it yet. I think it's ahead of its time. I think people, you know, Out of Shadows is kind of safe because, okay, well, that's back then. This is right now. This is with AI. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is with data. This new film talks about, I mean, most people do not realize that from the time you've been born, all of the activity that you do online or with the computer or with a device, a phone, whatever, that data is being tracked and stored. And they're building digital twins of you. And they use these digital twins with AI to manipulate your likes and dislikes in this virtual world. Mm-hmm. And that virtual world is what they use. If they can get your clone or your twin to do something, then they can run that same operation or simulation on you in real life, and it will affect you. That's why we all see different ads. You know, you guys talk about buying a car, and next thing you know, there's a car ad.
Yep. Yep.
Oh yeah.
So this is stuff people are, they know it, but they're not really aware of how it works. And I think Into the Light sheds some light on it. And then it shows, you know, like, look, these people have an agenda. They have a goal, and their goal is to control the entire world. Mm-hmm. So unless you are aware of that, unless you understand it,
yeah,
people are just going to go along with it, you know?
Yeah, it's so true. So Flyover family, if you haven't seen the trailer, we want to play it for you. You can go to intothelight.movie. Let's go ahead and go to the trailer, and then we'll come out of that, Mike, and talk some more about Into the Light.
Mm-hmm. table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged, and nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream because you have to be asleep to believe it. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club.
Most people, Mike, only care about what's 50 feet from their door.
What people don't understand is we're in the middle of war, and the war is for your conscious mind. We've all been influenced by these types of operations or information warfare.
Psychological warfare is the most powerful type of warfare that can be implemented in a battle. It's the most insidious type of warfare because it's designed to change a person's entire perspective, short-term or long-term, that's not to be reversed.
Well, most people, if they want to really dumb it down, they just say PSYOP is marketing. I don't dumb it down that way because few marketing campaigns cause other people to kill other people. Only PSYOP does that.
Hollywood, advertising, music, sports, gaming, social media, all of those things are tools. All those things are tools that they use to message. Now, are they good or bad? That depends on who's behind the message. And that depends on who's driving the narrative. And that battle's been going on since the beginning of time.
Don't listen to Mike Flynn. Listen to this guy, listen to a Dr. Harari, or listen to a Klaus Schwab, or listen to some of these other leaders that are part of this organization. Those are two that are very public, and they're on record with their ideas, their timelines, and their capabilities. It's very real.
You don't even have to take my word for this stuff. You can go to NQTEL. And look up their articles about artificial intelligence, what they're planning on doing with the artificial intelligence in the space of voting. You can go to OpenAI's website, look at the headline, what they say. They want to steer us in the right direction. Okay? Who gets to determine what's good for mankind?
Only the truth stands up to questioning. So you should never, ever mind being challenged or questioned. So when people say all the time, how do I find the truth? That's how you find it. Challenge it, question it, test it. And what's left standing is the only thing that matters.
If you look at the arc of history, the most powerful, the wealthiest, the most connected people in the world, they never, in the end, are left standing. Because it's always a small group, a small virtuous group that has unmitigating faith, that stands for truth, that stands for freedom, that will stand up to these folks.
I jumped out of the darkness, rose into the light. I was searching for someone, and you were by my side.
Again, you can find that movie by going to intothelight.movie. And in this, Mike, I mean, who you included, like experts in psychological operations and mainstream media manipulation. You had General Michael Flynn, Laura Logan, Brian Gamble, Dr. Keith Rose, Boone Cutler, and then yourself. I mean, what a powerful movie of getting this information out there. Dave and I watched it. We were blown away. We kind of mentioned it before we started recording, but, you know, we're friends with Laura Logan, and to see her taken back.
You stumped
Laura Logan for to see her realize, oh my gosh, I have been lied to watch that happen. that it was.
She had a light bulb go off in the middle of the interview that stopped her in her tracks, and you just don't see Laura Logan stopped in her tracks.
I knew as soon as I got that, I was like, "Oh, I got it!" Like, because she'll flip the interview on you real quick. Like,
oh yeah,
before you know, you're not interviewing her; she's interviewing you.
She's a pro.
Oh no! Well, she's the pro of pros. I said in the thing. I'm like, but she, you know, I just walked her down a logic chain that she'd never considered, and I think in the beginning, I think she was a little not sure about that because, you know, but to me, it makes her so much more credible because it even shows a vulnerability that even people like, look, I was in it for 20 or almost 30 years or 28 years. You know, I did it every day. That was my job. And I didn't see all this stuff. I didn't understand this stuff until I woke up and then I was like, oh my God, this is all connected. You know, they are using, they are manipulating us and they are doing it, whether, you know, it's good guys or bad guys, but that's what it is. It's, I mean, you can use these stories for good or evil. Like I said in the trailer,
yep.
You know, you can message and build things for good, or you can build things for evil. And right now I feel like the dark side has kind of gotten more of a power grab than the good side. And so what we're trying to do is say, whoa, let's level the playing field and let's get back to, you know, promoting family, freedom, you know, and the faith in God and the things that this country was founded upon and our Judeo-Christian fundamentals. That's what this country's founded on. Whether you like it or not, that's what this country's been founded on. And that's what gives us the right to have the First Amendment and free speech.
It's a little bit like an optical illusion that you see something and I don't see a picture there. And then, but once you see it, you can't unsee it. I remember when our son was probably 5 years old, we were at this Christian bookstore and they had this poster on the wall and it was called like Sunken Ship or something like that. And we walked up to it and he's like, wow, look at that. And these sharks, he was talking about these sharks in the image. And for me, it just looked like all the scrambled digital images. I saw nothing. And then other people walked up and they're looking at it and then they saw it. And I felt like I was being punked. Like it was a setup because I'm seeing nothing. I'm just looking at this. And of course, you know, he's five, he's debt free, single, you know, his no mind's stress. Totally, no stress. His mind's totally free. I'm looking at it and there's kind of a reflection on the glass. And finally I get real close to it and I kind of walk back slowly and it just jumps out. It's 3D. And I see this sunken ship, the treasure, and these sharks swimming around it. And I'm like, oh. And then we walked around the store, and every time I walked up, I saw it immediately. I couldn't unsee it. Every time I saw it, I saw the image. And I bought it because I'm like, this was such an interesting observation. I'm like, what things in my life do I not see? And then once you see that, you always see it. And this film, as with Out of Shadows, has that same effect, where then it's almost like a Rosetta Stone for your mind to begin interpreting the world around you, where it's not, the movie's not the destination. It's the turnkey that allows you to interpret every TV commercial, every image, every slogan. All of a sudden everything becomes like, I see what's happening. I now see the illusion.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just funny because once you wake up, once you like you said, once you see it, you can't unsee it. That's just the way it is. And you know, and I feel like we're at a very pivotal moment in history. Our world is changing, and if we don't stand up and fight for our freedoms and fight for our rights, they're going to be removed from us. Because you know, I say this in Into the Light, but the problem is with human beings is we love convenience. We love to be comfortable, and we love to be able to do things with the ease of convenience. Mm-hmm. We love that. That's what we like. Oh, I don't have to do that. Just click this button and it gets me whatever I want. Or I, you know, Uber Eats or
sure,
you know, Amazon Prime. You don't even have to go to the store. You can just boop and it comes to your house and you're happy. Well, that's a, you know, that's human nature. You know, like, think about this. You do not change your behavior, change something. You don't even roll over in bed until you get uncomfortable. So they know this. And then they know that over time, that people will conform to what's the easiest path, least resistance. And so for me, I'm like, oh man, they're selling us technology as freedom, but really it's a prison. And that's what it's really, it becomes is, you know, I mean, like, you know, I'm blessed enough to have a little farm and I live out kind of in the country and I get to go out and hear the birds and experience the change of seasons and the wind and the stars at night. And I mean, there's just so much more to the world that we just disconnect from because we're into doing this all the time with our devices. And sometimes it's good just to turn off everything, go out and go for a walk in nature and just sit in the forest and just smell the fresh air, you know? So, I mean, I know that I'm probably getting off topic, but to me,
it's so true. That's something we just had Boone in studio. And one of the challenges that he gave people was not to be glued to your phone, to actually, you know, use it. If you have to look up news or whatever, use it in the morning. If you work a job, put it away, you know, pull it out at lunch if you need to, you know, pull it out at night if you need to, but you know, don't have that with you all the time and let it control you.
I think I caught part of that interview. I was really impressed with that interview. He's right, because you know, if you have social media addiction, you can't put that thing. I'll be honest with you, I can't watch TV anymore. It's so hard for me to watch TV because of just A, my past, and B, just the quality programming. I just don't, you know, that's the interview.
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I saw that interview. So yeah, anyway, I did see that.
Yeah. So, Boone has a handle on these things. The question I would have for you is, all of this is a new thing in human history. You know, it's not like our great, great grandparents. Like, how did they struggle with how much screen time their kids had? Like, we're all, you know, I now have grown children that have children, and some of the things they're dealing with as parents, I'm like, I'm not pulling from anything because I didn't have that. And my son didn't have that. My daughter didn't have, you know, those technologies, you know, weren't available. And so we now have influences. Like, up until now, most of the people that would have had a loud voice in my life, I also had relational equity with. Mm-hmm. You know, I knew them personally and they had a loud voice in my world, where now a lot of people, their biggest influences, they've never met in person. And it's not, you know, and some of it's good. You can learn how to do a craft or do something, you know, from some guy that lives in another country. And, you know, there's good things, you know, with all that. But a lot of our deep rooted opinions and beliefs about other people, what their motives are, their agendas, the ability to create dysfunction between genders and races and all of these things. A lot of these influences that create these behaviors are coming from people that are outside of our reach, outside of our sphere.
That they don't have consequences for our actions.
No. And so, you know, when we were raising kids, if I had, you know, an aunt that said, hey, this is a good idea, it's like, well, I also knew her. And if this doesn't work, I could be like, that was a dumb idea,
right?
You know, and like she also, you know, might suffer some of the weight of a poor decision that we would make. Do you have any hopefulness that we can thrive or maybe even survive as a species with this level of technology and influence around us?
You know, that is a great question. I always give everything back to God, but I mean, I'm telling you, if that is going to happen, it will be because of God. Because look at what AI is able to do now. I mean, look at you take a front shot, a side shot, and a rear shot, record a voice for 30 seconds, you can put that into AI and pretty much create anything you want out of and have that person do or say, you know. So like the art of filmmaking, the art of a lot of things are just going away because of AI. I mean, to me, painting, you know, drawing, music, all the things that, that are God-given creative abilities. I don't know what the answer is, because, you know, people want their convenience. Did you see they have an AI church in California?
Scary.
Write the message. It's all AI.
That is so scary. Well,
who's programming the AI?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys, this is a scary moment in history, but I do have hope. I do have hope in humanity. I do believe that we will unite and love each other and come together and not be so divisive. And I think, you know, like there is true evil in this world. That the battle between good and evil has always been here. You know, there's no new thing under the sun. Mm-hmm. Ecclesiastes 1:9. Mm-hmm. I just pray that enough people find a change in their heart to change the way that we shape and mold this reality. I think if enough people stand up and wake up and understand that we've been being manipulated into, here's an example. Someone said this the other day. I go, every single person in the world, we're all debt slaves. I mean, we jump on the debt wheel. You know, you go, you're taught, we got to go to college, get an education. Well, to get that education, you got to pay, you know, a lot of money to get that certificate, go make money. So now you're already in, you know, $200,000-$300,000 in debt right out of college, you know, unless your parents are wealthy and can afford it, or you get a scholarship. But then you get this degree, or you get this diploma. Now you go get a job. And then you're like, oh, you're a first-time home buyer. Oh, well, here, we'll help you get a house. Oh, you want to buy a car? Oh, yeah, you need a credit card? We'll give you one of those, too. Next thing you know, you're working 9 to 5, and you're so focused on paying your bills and keeping, you know, your life together. Mm-hmm. Think about why do we work like that? I mean, there's just so many different ways this system could be set up. And it's basically set up to just farm us, like farm our energy and our money. I mean, everything. There's insurance. You got to go get insurance. Oh, you better get health care. You never know. You know, and you got to get this and you got to get that. You got to make sure you got a house, and you got to make sure you got a car. And, you know, it's just perpetuating cycle. And I'm thinking, what if it was really different? What if it really changed and we didn't have to work, and the moms and the, you know, neighborhoods and people could get together and do things together, you know? And I've been working on, just so you know, I wasn't going to talk about this, but I've been working for 6 years behind the scenes, because I didn't make these movies and not have a solution. And I've been working on a solution.
That's exciting.
I'm about to start releasing information on it. But we do have a solution for some of it. And it's community oriented. It's based out of, like, where the members are the users, and the users manage the place, the content, or whatever products that are on there. I don't want to talk about it yet, because I want to make sure I accomplish what I'm trying to accomplish. But if you watch Into the Light and you sign up, which you guys have, you're going to knowingly now you'll gain access to our alpha and beta of what we're doing next.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Sweet.
The reason you have to sign up is we wrote that movie's on our own code. That movie's not on Amazon, Google, or Microsoft code. That movie's on our code, because I knew they were going to shut down everything I was doing. So I was like, well, we have to host it ourselves. So when you register and you sign up, we're not selling your data. We're not trading your data. We're not doing anything like that. But what you are going to gain access to is our next project, which you're going to see coming out probably into third quarter or last quarter of the year. So we'll see.
That is exciting. That is very good to hear.
It is, you know, because we joke sometimes because, you know, we not only every show that we do in person, we interview, we're reading the books that they've written and preparing and you look at this stuff. And I'm like, sometimes I'll just say like, I don't know, dude, we need an EMP.
Yeah.
You know, just because like there's something to get rid of the technology. Because I'm convinced if you took a very disgruntled, angry, this person could be like a BLM rioter and burning buildings and they're all this. If you just pulled them out of that structure and put them like in the woods in Wisconsin and they were, you know, chopping wood, you know, 8 hours a day and a part of something, they could see the fruit of their labor and they're physically doing something. They're unplugged from technology. Like
they found that with people with addictions that works.
Yeah. People with addictions, a lot of things like
that are
like
troubled kids.
The mind starts to just kind of clear up a little bit. All of a sudden it's like that fog lifts. Mm-hmm. And I think there's something that transforms even stuff that's been removed. Like, you know, it's kind of dates myself, but when I was in school, took like a woodshop class and you'd make some crappy clipboard or something. but there's something valuable about, hey, I took these pieces of wood and I glued them together. Like I took scraps and I made something of value. Like if I can make something of value, maybe I have value and it's something you can touch. And, you know, we're in a world where young girls are comparing themselves to fake images online and everything's just faux. And we've invited it into our world in such a unique way.
Yes.
There's a meme on Facebook I saw a while back and it said like, you know, 20 years ago, there had somebody saying, hey, be careful what you say. That phone could be wiretapped. And then now today, you know, said, you know, 2024, it said, hey, wiretap, what's the weather going to look like tomorrow?
That's true.
You know, and like we've invited this in and I don't think it's good for us. But how do we have the discipline to manage it and create those barriers ourselves to where these technologies are an assistant, they help, they make our life better, but we don't become the slaves of it. It's the slave.
I think that's what Boone was trying to say, even with his, you know, just a challenge that he was giving out.
Boone says, if you can't go 15 minutes, if you say, I'm going to block my phone out for 2 hours a day while I'm working and you can't go 15 minutes, that's an addictive behavior.
Yeah.
That's how an addict would behave. Mm-hmm. If you're making excuses why you need your phone after 15 minutes, that's an addictive behavior. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think these are intentionally, you know, addictive technologies.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, yeah. I mean, of course, that's what they're designed to do. I mean, think about it. I almost got a divorce because of World of Warcraft. I mean, I used to play all the time. And then, you know, it's like, I just got to accomplish this. Then I can go to bed. And then I do one more, when I guess do one more quest. You know, it's like, of course it's designed to keep you busy and, you know, engaged. I mean, there's a lot of psychology behind it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but I was willing to do it. I enjoyed doing this more than I enjoyed, you know, mowing the grass, you know, so, you know, I'm going to play my video game. that had to end. So, yeah.
Like, do I want to stop this game or lose half my stuff? I don't know. Let's see.
One way or the other. So, the old ball and chain put the foot down on the game, video game.
And you did it, which means we all can do it as well with our phones and all of that.
Men are better off married with that kind of parameters put around them, especially young men. You know, they're putting off marriage so long nowadays. I'm like, you know what? Earlier, a guy can get married. A woman is naturally, by instinct, going to protect him from a lot of his own poor choices, you know, in those early days or even later days. It's good for you.
I've been married. We've been together 31 years.
Wow. That's awesome. Congratulations.
It's pretty crazy. God puts the right people in your life.
And, yeah.
You know, I didn't want to lose her. So
yeah.
I had to go to video games. So yeah.
That's awesome.
We all need to make some of those tough decisions. Yes. And I think we all know that it is good for us. And it'll be interesting how future generations navigate these topics. For those of you flyover family that are watching, if you go to flyover.live platform, we're going to play the full out of trailers, out of Shadows movie that you can watch, as well as on the Rumble channel. I think it'll be available there. Out of Shadows is going to just roll straight in after this. I'll let Mike set it up here in a second. But I encourage you to go to intothelight.movie. The link is down below. Again, if you want to be able to see the code and have it broken down, and then you see the image, if you want to break the illusion, you know, of this whole matrix, this movie will do it. And if you want to help, if you got kids in college, you got people, and see, this is a movie you want to say, hey guys, let's sit down together, let's watch this. I'm curious what questions this brings up. You can send this to a cousin or a friend or a coworker. Say, this movie really got me thinking. I'd love for you to watch it. Let's go to lunch, you know, and have a deep conversation around these things, because these are big topics we're all grappling with.
Thank you for saying exactly that, because that's what these films are. They're conversation starters. They don't take a side. This is just information, you know, and people get weird about stuff, you know, like Operation Paperclip, Operation Mockingbird, Operation MKUltra. The human trafficking and Out of Shadows. And then, of course, everybody loses their mind as soon as Liz Crokin starts talking about Pizzagate. Well, Pizzagate, let's not call it Pizzagate. How about we call it what it is? Child sex trafficking.
Yep.
Child abuse. Things that are not right. You know, that like they want to label it. And I got my first legitimate Media Matters hit piece done on me last week, which was kind of cool.
Congratulations.
Over the target.
Yeah, I mean, if you have those guys attacking you, you're doing the right thing.
Yep.
So to me, they gave me a whole bunch of free publicity. So I was like, call me a pizza gator. Oh, okay, I'm a pizza gator. What does that even mean? It's like, no, I'm a filmmaker, and I was covering a topic just like a journalist would. What does this mean? What's behind it? And when you go look into the truth and you go look into and research the facts about these things, you can come to your own decision. Mm-hmm. I don't have to tell you what to think. It's just say, hey, go look at this stuff. So Into the Light, you know, as that film was being brought forward, I thought, well, the people have to understand how they've been manipulated, why they've been manipulated, and who's manipulating them. Because until they understand that, they're not going to know how to fight back. They're not going to know what to do. And so it starts with that. And it might be a year from now that they figure out whatever it is they're going to do. Because just like Out of Shadows, In the Light does plant seeds of like thought. Or it's thought provoking. Like, wow, I never thought of that before that way. And then like you sit with your wife or your husband or your best friend and you say, what did you think? And then you're going to get a different perspective. And I always get different perspectives from people. And I'm like, never would have thought of it that way, but okay. You know, I mean, that's why we're all, you know, we're all different. We're all human. So I think you're going to enjoy this film. And I encourage everybody to share it because it is a tool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is a tool to start a conversation.
All right, Flyover family, you can go to the link down below, go to intothelight.movie if you want to jump straight to that. But if it's been a while, if you saw it in the past and, hey, I forgot some of the details, I remember I liked it, or maybe I hated it, you're probably a different person than you were 4 years ago today when Out of the Shadows came out. And so sometimes you go back and you read a Bible verse again and you're like, whoa, verse didn't change, I changed, means something new. This has that same ability. So with no further ado, we're just going to go ahead and roll straight in to Out of Shadows.
Why do you believe what you believe? Because at some point in your life, you trusted the information that somebody was giving you. And that someone you trusted told you that a car was a car, a tree was a tree, a bird was a bird, the blue stuff above you is the sky. And that's the way that we began to determine what we believe to be a fact. Most of the things that we believe to be a fact in our lives are told to us through our stories or the news that we hear. So my question would be, if they were deceiving you with the stories they tell you, would you be able to recognize that?
So we've all heard the term conspiracy theory. Personally, for me, I've never really had time to get into any of that because frankly, I'm working all the time and I don't have the time to look into Bigfoot or aliens or Flat Earth or 9/11 conspiracy or the JFK assassination. It's just, it's not anything that I really have any backstory on. But the one thing that I do have a lot of backstory on, the one thing I do know a lot about is Hollywood.
When you think about the entertainment industry, what comes to mind? Movies, TV, music, right? Let's talk about this entertainment.
I've been observing you.
What if this entertainment was more than just entertainment?
Now in complete control!
When you're driving home from work, what are you listening to? When you come home after a long day and turn on the TV, what do you see?
The U.S. are bracing. Saying that they're on.
Think about all the content you've seen throughout your whole life. A lot of it has actually made us who we are today.
So you don't know what's really going on.
Have you ever stopped for just a second, though, and questioned the content?
Good morning, Vietnam!
The only thing we consume more than content is air. But we actually think about the quality of the air we breathe. Maybe it's time to take a closer look at our content.
And fear. Taxes.
Our government's always controlled our content.
The fight for freedom.
We've just never paid attention.
Freedom of speech.
Message received.
The police occupy our community.
To work with the CIA to destabilize foreign countries.
This media that we're consuming at such a rapid rate, we need to slow down and think about what we're consuming.
Bullshit going on.
What if the people in charge didn't have our best interests in mind? Now we have to ask ourselves, who's influencing our content?
Is the CIA involved in Hollywood?
Yes.
And guys, come ahead.
I'm rolling. Go.
That's good right there. He's picking up speed. Go, go, go.
So for the past 28 years, I've probably had one of the coolest jobs in the world. I was a professional stunt performer.
I've worked with some of the biggest stars. I've got to be Batman. I've got to be James Bond. I've won World Stunt Awards. I am in the Screen Actors Guild. I'm in the DGA. I'm in the WGA. And last year, I got into the Academy, the Oscars. I worked my way up from being a stuntman to being a fight coordinator, to being a stunt coordinator, to being a second-year director.
Action!
First big job I get, I'm on Batman Forever. And I'm walking around set, and I'm pinching myself. I'm looking over, and there's Tommy Lee Jones, there's Jim Carrey, there's Val Kilmer, there's Drew Barrymore, there's Nicole Kidman. And I'm like, how did I get here? I didn't really say I'm gonna go be a stuntman. I wanted to go make movies. But being a stuntman was the easiest way for me to get into the business. I didn't want to be an actor because pretending to be a character. Well, being a stuntman, I was that character. I was the guy behind the illusion, creating it for the guy who's on the screen. I jumped out of that helicopter. I was in that fireball. I did whatever was being asked of the job. I've had an amazing career, and I've had an amazing life.
Two, one, action!
All right, that's a cut.
But in the system that exists today, as I get up the ladder, I realize it's not what people think it is. It's an illusion. It is a complete illusion.
We're gonna put our pick and our attorney's ship.
In 2014, I was working on a television show up in Portland, and I had a catastrophic injury. I've done this stunt probably variations of it 20 times over my career. It was nothing. It was a small fall down into a stairwell. I did the first take fine, the second take, I knew I could do it better. I went up and I fell over the rail and I landed on the pipe down below and I burst fractured my L2 vertebrae and I was paralyzed from the waist down. When you are injured, when you are catastrophically injured and it changes who you are, I knew from that day I would never be the athlete that I once was. And I always tell people as a stuntman, the worst possible injury you can get is a lower back injury. Mm-hmm. You can break your legs, your arms, whatever. But if you injure your lower back or your hips, your pelvic region, you're done. There was 2 years that I didn't think I would ever live without pain. One of the issues I was dealing with at that time was I had lost the feeling and I still have numbness in my thighs and on this half of my pelvic region. I was going to physical therapy and the lady looks at me and she goes, "This isn't really helping you. You're way more advanced than this stuff." And I go, "Yeah, I do this every morning." She goes, "Well, what's the real issue?" I said, "The real issue is my pelvic region." And so she said, "Okay, well, there's a woman who works here and she is a pelvic floor therapist."
So how I met Mike, I met him, his spine was broken and he had partial paralyzation of his pelvic floor area. We help people when they have problems with the most important functions in your life, bowel, bladder, and sexual function.
So one day we're in the middle of therapy and she stops me and she says, "Mike, I feel like you have really dark spirits over you. Can I pray for you?" Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Pray for me?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure, pray for me. I don't really believe in that stuff anymore, but yeah, go ahead, pray for me." So she prays for me. And I was kind of thinking while she's doing it, okay, this is weird, but okay, whatever. So for the next 2 or 3 months, I would go, and then every now and then she would stop me and she'd say, "Hey, can I pray over you?"
I was kind of a little bit disgusted with his personality because he was all about himself and money, and I think the Lord had a lot of work to do in terms of humility with him. He made it very clear that he thought I was crazy, but he let me.
After she stopped one day, and I said, "You are either 100% batshit crazy, or you think all this is real in the spirit world." And she looked at me and she said, "Michael, I am one of the only pelvic floor therapists in Southern California at the time. And when these satanic people and these evil people do their rituals to little girls and women and boys, who do you think puts them back together? I do. It's completely real, and you need to look into it." My awakening, it didn't happen at church the way that some people find God. I just pretty much had given up my faith, and I'd given up where I was at, and I was just kind of at the point where I was like, "Okay, well, I'm going to have the best time I can here, and when I die, I die. That's it." I still wasn't sure if it wasn't 100% crazy or not, but I was reading these articles and looking at these things, and I was like, you know, I've seen things at parties. I've seen artwork. I've seen statues. I've seen things in some people's houses that just seem to be mimicking occult stuff I'm reading about. So I was like, maybe there is something to this. I'm just going to say this. I didn't find God because I went to church. I found God because I realized that the Luciferian and the other side, the occult world, was real, and that I had been fooled for all these years, and I then got really scared. I got really scared because this was the first time in my life that I was
having to question my own reality. Physically, I was crushed. I wasn't going to be who I was. And spiritually, I mean, if I'm being honest, I didn't know anything about being a Christian. I mean, really. And then professionally, everything that I knew about my career, I was starting to look at it in a different way. I was starting to question my career in Hollywood from a different perspective. So I got off of social media and I made an anonymous account. I started reading blogs, looking at articles. I started reading books. I started watching videos online. I just started searching for the truth, and I was finding accounts that were searching for the truth themselves. They weren't mainstream accounts. These were accounts online that I felt like were like me. They were just looking for what the truth was. I didn't believe I was getting the truth from CNN, MSNBC, Fox. I didn't believe any of it. I just wanted to read it, absorb it, and digest it, and trust what my gut told me I was reading. As I did my research, I began to understand there's a very small group of people that influence all the companies that we watch. So they used to call them the Big Six. But Disney just bought Fox, and Disney controls Marvel, and Disney owns Lucas Studios. So look at that giant audience right here. Say a small group of people control the narratives and the content that we all see on all the channels. It makes you feel like, oh, I have lots of choices, but you don't. Who's telling them what to put on those channels? Where does that lead?
Tonight, the FBI is on the case, and they are warning big companies in America to protect their data after a big Hollywood studio got hit by hackers and several blockbuster movies ended up online.
This is the first time the United States has accused a foreign government of a cyber attack against an American corporation.
And this interested me because I worked over at Sony quite a bit during my career, and I actually had to get LifeLock during the Sony hack, so I was curious. I was like, what was this really about? Well, the narrative put out in the public was Seth Rogen and James Franco made a movie about North Korea, and so they were mad, and so they decided to hack Sony to teach them a lesson. That was a public narrative that went out, and that's what I was like, well, that makes sense. You know, I know Seth and I know James, and they're definitely pushed the envelope of comedy, and their sense of humor is definitely their own. And I thought to myself, okay, that makes sense.
And now private emails are going public.
It's a public relations disaster.
But what I found really interesting as I examined the WikiLeaks documents was it showed that the heads of one of our biggest movie studios in America was in direct communication with very important people in our government. It didn't surprise me. I was like, okay, well, either they're friends or there's something more to it. So I never really thought about the government influencing our content or our stories. Could they be influencing our story and our content? Like, these were real questions that I never had asked myself. I just did the jobs. I went to work. I did my job. I did whatever was asked and went home. Never thought about this stuff. So I was like, I don't really know anybody that can answer these questions. And I reached out to this guy who I'd been watching online. His name was Kevin Shipp. And for those of you who don't know who Kevin Shipp is, he's a CIA whistleblower. He worked in counterintelligence, and he served in many capacities in his tenure at the CIA.
This is The Big Picture, an official television report to the nation from the United States Army.
It was an OSS memo, the precursor of the CIA, where they were doing a study of the use of motion pictures in America as a means of psychological warfare. So it goes all the way back to pre-1947, when U.S. intelligence was using motion pictures to alter the thinking of Americans in the United States.
The morale of our troops is high. The laughter, music, and general entertainment, which comes out of a single small package like this one, have helped to build that morale.
The CIA is funneling information into Hollywood. Hollywood is putting it out in the movies, and the population believes it.
Axes to bury the Axis.
This document right here is a FOIA document. Anybody in America, anybody can request this. It's Freedom of Information Act. And in the 40s, they were telling you they controlled the radio stations. They controlled most of the mainstream media. They're telling you right here that motion pictures are used as psychological warfare. Why would they stop doing it?
At no time has the CIA engaged in any political activity or any intelligence activity that was not approved at the highest level.
Alan Dulles groomed and recruited Ian Fleming, and Dulles and the CIA actually helped Fleming write his books and paint the CIA in a favorable light. And they also, Dulles helped produce Thunderball to make the CIA and agents look like honorable, you know, cool people. The CIA actually helped him write the books and write the script for that movie. And then the president of MPAA was actually providing intelligence to the CIA as an operative in that position in Hollywood.
Mr. Fleming, in your books, there's a great amount of detail. Is this detail based on personal experience? Do you make it up? Where does it come from?
Well, I can say it's 90% from personal experience, really. Of course, if I started sticking too close to the true espionage work of today, I should be in trouble with the Official Secrets Act in England, even supposing I had access to information.
There's no question about the fact that Mockingbird is real. It started out paying journalists in major medias, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalists, to print fake stories that the CIA wanted in the press and fake interviews. And this was revealed in the Church Committee.
Do you have any people being paid by the CIA who are contributing to a major circulation American journal?
We do have people who submit pieces to two American journals.
And of course, then the CIA destroyed the rest of the files, which is what they do. George H.W. Bush came out and finally made the statement about Mockingbird. Well, we're going to officially stop the Mockingbird program. The CIA will no longer pay journalists to write stories. From now on, the program is voluntary, which means Mockingbird continues today. When's the last time you've seen a mainstream media outlet do a serious investigative report on the actions of the CIA? There's a reason for that.
This would mean that the CIA could manipulate the news in the United States by channeling it through some foreign country. And we're looking at that very carefully.
You say that continues today?
Well, I would think probably for a reporter it would continue today, but because of all of the revelations of the period of the 1970s, it seems to me that a reporter's got to be much more circumspect in doing it now, or he runs the risk of at least being looked at with considerable disfavor by the public. I think you've got to be much more careful about it.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
There is something about the way the CIA has been functioning that is casting a shadow on our historic position of freedom, and I feel we need to correct it.
Senator Moynihan proposed a bill to dismantle the CIA.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Introduced it twice. The second time was 1995. Ironically, 1 year later, in 1996, the CIA established the Entertainment Liaison Office, which was specifically penetrated into Hollywood, and Chase Brandon was actually co-wrote scripts, for example, The Recruit.
Looking for high horsepower, high energy, very competitive people who are driven by patriotism and a sense of wanting to serve a greater cause.
I am recruiting you.
Would I have to kill anyone?
Would you like to?
So the CIA was and is in Hollywood, was and is contributing to Hollywood productions and that manipulation.
The Recruit.
Nothing is what it seems. As I started to wake up, I never actually considered that the CIA had an office in Hollywood. And I'm like, well, I see this, I see that. And I started putting feelers out, like, does anybody else see this stuff? And not many people were awake. But the one person that I reached out to was an old colleague of mine, a friend of mine named Brad Martin. And Brad and I had similar careers. We worked our way up through the business together. And I'm like, hey, Brad, you've seen this, you've seen that. And he's like, yeah, for sure. And so that gave me strength. That gave me like, okay, well, I'm not alone in this deal. And I'm going to keep looking.
Let me just say this. Brad's one of the greatest stuntmen I've ever met. Probably the best.
I'm a very physically creative person. I've been doing action for movies for 26, 27 years. I excelled at the action aspect of it, at the physical aspect of doing the fights and doing the gymnastics and doing the falls and doing the driving. I trained really hard and became one of the top stuntmen in the business. I started becoming a fight coordinator and then a stunt coordinator and then an action director. Very few people have ever gotten to where I've gotten to, and I'm super proud of what I did. I mean, I had a very idealistic view of the movie business, and I've been disillusioned a few times. It feels very much like there's an agenda in every movie. I realized that it was more of a machine, and it was more of they just needed content to put out there for the masses. I stopped really watching TV. I stopped really watching movies. And one of the reasons why I stopped watching movies is I got into my research and what's going on in the world right now. And all the corruptness and all of the plot twists of reality. And I started realizing that reality is 20 times more interesting than Hollywood. I mean, I was a Hollywood buff. I loved all of those movies, but now they're meaningless because I know what's going on right now actually has purpose and has a meaning, and there are consequences. And once this story is told on what's happening in the world right now and all of the powers that be battling each other, it will be the greatest story ever told. Like, for instance, I saw something on History Channel talking about how the CIA helped Disney buy all the swampland in Florida. Well, why on earth would they do that?
His lawyers in charge of purchasing the parcels had served in military intelligence during World War II and knew how to keep a secret. And they used several different companies, none with Disney's name, to acquire the properties.
Now I go down this rabbit hole of what does the CIA have to do with Hollywood, or at least with Disney? Washington, D.C. is definitely in Hollywood. I have seen documents of the DOD and the CIA writing to the studio heads, guiding them in certain fashion. There's a lot of things that people would talk about that are conspiracy theory, but there's some things that ring true with me. It's like, oh, wow, that makes a lot of sense.
Another program developed by the CIA after World War II was called Operation Paperclip. It's been depicted in many movies, including Disney's Marvel series.
Operation Paperclip after World War II, SHIELD recruited German scientists with strategic value.
They thought I could help their cause.
Operation Paperclip, and this is something people need to know because it has been so covered up and mocked and berated and claimed to be a conspiracy theory. And by the way, the term labeling people as conspiracy theorists was invented by the CIA to deflect any attention over the JFK assassination. They invented that word as a way to shut down any scrutiny or this critical investigation of what they were doing. So they started that whole ball rolling. In terms of Operation Paperclip, it is documented. There's absolutely no question about it. Alan Dulles, CIA director, was an associate of Heinrich Himmler of the Third Reich. So what Dulles proceeded to do when the Third Reich was brought down was he secretly brought all of the top Nazi scientists into the U.S. He falsified their files that he gave to Harry Truman, making them look like there were no war crimes. They brought these Nazi scientists into the CIA to work for the CIA, and that includes the human experiments they conducted on Jewish men, women, and children, and the psychological studies that these Nazi scientists had done. The CIA was using their expertise for these programs through Operation Paperclip, and this was Nazi, much of it occult beliefs that the CIA adopted and actually put these people on their payroll.
One of the programs that came out of Operation Paperclip was MKUltra. Now, MKUltra was a very complex program that dealt with human experiments and mind manipulation.
As this 1952 CIA memo says, the aim is controlling an individual to the point where he will do our bidding against his will, and even against such fundamental laws of nature as self-preservation.
In the church committee, MKUltra came out as an actual program of mind control using mental, physical, and sexual abuse and psychotropic drugs.
Lysergic acid diethylamide, LSD.
It was one of the first times that anybody had run into a powerful drug that was different than anything else that they knew anything about.
A decision was made at the highest levels of the CIA to do testing on unwitting Americans.
At Ravenscraig, Dr. Cameron went further with drugs and electric shock treatments than any researchers in the MKUltra project dared. His aim was to wipe the mind clean. Then he would implant new messages by forcing the patient to listen to a hypnotic repetition as many as 250,000 times. This was called psychic driving.
He would give the patient intensive electric treatment. He would attempt to implant new ideas in the mind of the patient.
Now, to a layman, it would appear that Dr. Cameron was trying to take the slate and wipe it clean, the slate being the mind. In other words, brainwashing.
Exactly, that's a very good comparison.
Brainwashing.
Yes, too late.
No. Good heavens.
You're doing fine, just try to describe it.
Oh, you don't know. You want to give yourself... You want to give yourself such a kick.
How do you feel inside? Inside? I don't have any inside.
Nobody explained it to me. Nobody ever asked me if I was willing to do it or anything.
They put me on sleep treatment, and they kept you asleep for 23 days, and while I was asleep, they were shocking the heck out of me with electric shocks and playing tapes.
Why are you initiating responsibility? Why are you
It was... really, like a concentration camp.
What a torpedo that is. You might find them this way.
You look that way. Nothing for you to watch here, but you're going to talk to me as we go along.
They couldn't go any further because CIA Director Richard Helms destroyed all the CIA's MKUltra documents, and they had to rely on coached witnesses. So they were never able to dig even deeper. What they got was bad enough. It was never terminated. There's no evidence that it was ever terminated. No documents, no nothing, and not even an admission by the CIA that it's been terminated.
How do you feel?
I'm feeling better, thank you.
Feeling better? Are you sleeping well?
Yes, I'm sleeping better now.
We could disable a whole city by putting a very small amount on a water supply. After all of these years of us... those of us who are involved in looking for this secret drug, This was the only thing that began to look for the first time like it might be something like that.
So MKUltra was one of the hardest programs for me to wrap my head around because it's a lot of subset programs. And I was really surprised that Brad Martin knew about MKUltra.
People think that research people are crazy for talking about MKUltra, mind control. Even if they acknowledge that that existed, they go, oh, well, that ended in the 70s. That's a crock of shit.
And perhaps the world's only hope of stopping a sinister assassination plot.
The movie that I did involving that topic was Zoolander.
The fashion industry has been behind every major political assassination over the last 200 years.
I mean, at the time, I was making a comedy and I had no idea what I was involved with. But now looking back on the movie, I'm blown away at just the propaganda.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
In a movie like Zoolander, when they're showing you that they're controlling Derek Zoolander's mind through mind control, you realize that they're trying to desensitize you and to make you think that what you're watching is fiction because it's in a comedy.
Like a mass MKUltra now. Their purpose is to capture the minds of the people and feed them false history. The CIA is funneling information into Hollywood. Hollywood is putting out in the movies, and the population believes it.
All right, so look, here's the deal. They have been desensitizing us since we were born, and I'll give you some examples. Let's start with the big one. Let's start with words we hear all the time and never even think about. Let's start with the word entertainment. To entertain. What does that mean? To bind or hold. To bind or hold what? An audience's attention. Okay, now let's take the word Hollywood. Where does that come from? Well, Hollywood comes from the holly tree. And the ancient druids, back in the day, used to take the holly tree, make wands to weave spells, cast spells, or channel spells. And when they needed help, they would consult the magis or the mediums of the day to help channel their spells to the population. We'll cut to today. What do we have in our houses? We have these black boxes. What are they called? TVs. But if you stop and you say the word tel-a-vision, television. And when you turn on that television, what do you get? What's the first thing that pops up? A list of channels. And when you turn on those channels, what's on those channels? Programming. They are programming you. They've been programming your whole life. You don't even know it. They do it with your music. They do it with your TV. They do it with your movies. They do it with your games. They have been programming us and programming you since you were little, and you don't even know it because you don't even question it.
Starting in 1900, we entered a previously unimaginable time of modern technology. Advances that allowed the rulers of this world to construct and direct our stories in ways we previously never imagined. As a result, new techniques to control the population were realized. These are the people from the companies that we have trusted to deliver us our news and tell our stories. This has always been about controlling what we as the population think and hear. They help create our culture and influence our society. We as citizens only trust them because as a society, we think that the gatekeepers have our best interest in mind.
The dangerous, you know, edges here are that he's trying to undermine the media, trying to make up his own facts. And it could be that while unemployment and the economy worsens, he could have undermined the messaging so much that he can actually control exactly what people think. And that is the that is our job.
As I was researching, I found that most of the early communication companies were developed for shipping or aviation. And a lot of the men that started these companies were commissioned by the military during World War I and World War II. Many of these men worked for the Army and Navy intelligence services, along with the OSS, which we know became the CIA. There were many examples of these men becoming the heads or founders of some of the biggest motion picture and media companies before and after their government or military service. I wanted to know how many of the media companies in today's world connected back to Washington. So I started looking. It was like a family tree. The connections between our government personnel and the media corporations was unbelievable. Google, Amazon, Netflix, Twitter, CNN, ABC. So what would happen if all these companies had the same political ideology or agenda? We as this population like to hear people confirm our confirmation biases. We like to hear people tell us that we're right. We don't like to be wrong. And we believe that the people on the media and the people that we're listening to have our best interests in mind. The problem is what if they don't? So if you stop and think about it, they can place any agenda on the population that they choose.
I think that Hollywood is teaching bad morals to the youth of this country, as well as adults. Desensitizing of violence to the masses. You can't deny that. My kids have seen so many people get killed in very violent ways.
Three times as much gun violence now.
And the sex that's in PG-13 movies.
Why?
Every Disney movie, there's a major character, usually a parent, that gets killed. Trauma to the child. Why? It's so horrible. What a bad story. Why do you need to start a story with a parent dying? Always. It's so sad.
Under MK Ultra, they experimented on children. We were even taught this in psychophysiology program, that if you get to a child between ages 1 and 6 or 1 or 8, especially with sexual abuse or sexual trauma, you will split their personality and they will be imprinted the rest of their life. And many times that results in split personalities and dissociative behavior and other things.
These occult topics are being introduced to our kids and most parents aren't even aware of it. So the biggest surge with this occult-type material took place in the late 60s and the early 70s with movies like The Exorcist, Amityville Horror, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Halloween, and Roman Polanski's Rosemary's Baby. And coincidentally, this same time period, it parallels the rise of the Church of Satan in Los Angeles, and it was founded by a guy named Anton LaVey.
When I was a police officer, we had cases of satanic cults right in Arlington, Virginia. Those have been around for decades. They're in the high schools, they're in the colleges, they're in the government, and they're in Hollywood.
I got to meet people like Sammy Davis and that kind of shit. Sammy told me he worshipped the devil. Sammy was like, you know, Satan is as powerful as God. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? He says, why do you think there's so much anger in the world and killing and murder and Satan, and he saw my reaction to it, then he kind of lightened up on it. And he was like, the dantana is dark, and it's the candles on the table, and Sammy's face over the candle. You know, Satan is as powerful as God.
From our point of view, it really makes no difference whether you pray to a father god, or to a mother goddess, or to an entire gaggle of gods and goddesses.
Michael Aquino was a high-level officer in the National Security Agency. He was and is, you'll see him today, a practicing Satanist. He created the Satanic Temple of Set, which he still runs. He was a high-level NSA officer. He's a member of the association I used to be in, the Association of Former Intelligence Officers, AFIO. He's a member of that. He's plugged in big time to the intelligence community. And he wrote a paper called Mind War. And Mind War was about psychological operations against populations, including the American, the domestic population, using Satanist techniques and tools.
Aquino was first involved in MK Ultra operations during the Vietnam War as part of the Phoenix program.
Well, first, I've been involved in intelligence and psychological operations for about 40 years in all levels of it and across the intelligence community.
You are a lieutenant colonel in the United States Army.
Correct.
Now,
And how does the Army feel about you being head of the Temple of Set?
The Army has known about my religion for the entire span of my Army career, which began in 1968. Mm-hmm. The Army has paid very little attention to it, the same as it would to anybody who was, say, a follower of Hinduism or of Buddhism or any other slightly unusual religion today.
He was occupied a position at the Presidio, which was a training facility for the U.S. government, and it was uncovered that he was running a pedophile ring. I think 50 kids came out and fingered him as the guy that had done sexual acts on them as children. It went to trial. He walked from the trial successfully because he had a good attorney, despite the fact that there were multiple witnesses that said Aquino, through satanic rituals, had abused them as children. There's no question that he's a practicing Satanist. Just watch any one of his interviews.
On this altar is one of a number of daggers, which we may use in our rituals. This one happened to belong to the commanding general of the most elite unit of Germany's infamous SS, which was concerned with black magic and occultism research in general. Anything that it could find that had to do with the origins of the human race, destiny of humanity.
The perverted view of the occult held by Heinrich Himmler was of an evil magic that could help create a new master race. Wewelsburg Castle is where he performed his ceremonies.
I have been to the Wewelsburg, which still preserves Heinrich Himmler's ritual chambers to this day, and have conducted a black magical ritual in the so-called Hall of the Dead beneath the Wewelsburg. This particular dagger is inscribed to our comrade in the Leibstandarte, Theodor Wisch, Brigadeführer, a major general in the Waffen-SS. And on its blade, it bears the inscription, "Mein Ehre heißt Treu," or "My honor shall be known by my faithfulness."
Aquino's thesis stated that enemy populations could be subdued by inflicting a state of psychological terror and feelings of imminent destruction. He discusses the use of psychotronic weapons and electromagnetic weapons that influence the mind. By extremely low-frequency signals, piggybacked on broadcasts of radio, TV, or microwave communications in order to influence and manipulate the thoughts and feelings of the target population. These ongoing MKUltra operations are functioning as a counterinsurgency and infiltration operation aimed at destabilizing the United States and other industrialized nations.
I give the CIA a total credit for sponsoring and initiating the entire consciousness movement, counterculture events of the 1960s.
History will judge the role of the CIA and other intelligence agencies in unwittingly contributing to the counterculture of the 60s through their intense interest in LSD and other hallucinogenics. But for the moment at least, the argument can be made that the CIA helped usher in the Age of Aquarius.
Laurel Canyon was the epitome of the summer of love. I mean, we saw the possibility of the way we could live.
It's odd because in Laurel Canyon, so many of the soon-to-be stars there, their parents were in either the military-industrial complex or intelligence or the Pentagon. In Frank Zappa's case, his dad was working at Edgewood Arsenal, where they were doing biochem studies, psychotropic, and exposing U.S. troops to VX nerve gas and other things. The family kept gas masks in their house. He grew up with that in case there was an accident. And Edgewood Arsenal was doing this very similar related MK Ultra projects on U.S. troops. The Gulf of Tonkin is another prime example. The commander of the Gulf Fleet in the Gulf of Tonkin, his son was Jim Morrison. They claimed the USS Maddox was attacked by Vietnamese vessels. It was never attacked. As a matter of fact, they put ghost ships on the radar to make it look like they were Vietnamese ships. The Maddox was never attacked. It was an actual literal false flag to enable the US to declare war on Vietnam. So So Jim Morrison's dad was involved in the false flag of the Gulf of Tonkin.
After talking to Kevin, I started looking into Laurel Canyon. I drove down Laurel Canyon to Hollywood almost daily when I first moved out there. And I never knew that there was an old Air Force base called Lookout Mountain U.S. Air Force Base at the top of Laurel Canyon. And what's funny is, as you, if you do the history of it, it's owned today by a guy named Jared Leto.
Another tactic developed out of the MKUltra project was the use of compromise and control via honeypots.
The decision was made to do testing on unwitting victims. It was decided they should be on the fringes of society because they were most vulnerable.
We did quite a study of prostitutes and their behavior. How do you take a woman who is willing to use her body to get money out of a guy to get him to talk about things which are much more important, like state secrets? We learned a lot about human nature in the bedroom. We started to pick up knowledge that could be used in operations.
There would be victims in all of this. As one agency memo says, we have no answer to the moral question.
That's one of the CIA's favorite tactics, are honeypots. And I work with CIA psychologists, and they're dirty.
I always felt that every house should have its own secret panel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. You lift this up.
Mm-hmm. This is a trap door. Opens up and looks into the cave, or what time is called the Woo Grotto.
Oh, boy.
They're running blackmail operations where they're getting very well-known government and private industry elite people in compromising positions at the Playboy Mansion, on Epstein's plane, on Orgy Island, and they're photographing them. And after that, it's like Congressman so-and-so or CEO so-and-so. I wouldn't bring that up if I was you, because we got photographs of you with a 14-year-old girl on Epstein's plane, for example. And you talk about shutting somebody up permanently, that's how they do it.
What happens in the grotto stays in the grotto.
Okay.
Look, it's pretty simple if you think about it. To control the population, you have to control the people messaging the population. Some of these stars have 20, 30 million followers. That's more followers than CNN, Fox, ABC, NBC. These people have to be controlled. They can't just go off a message and start saying whatever they want to say. They have to be somewhat reined in. They have to be controlled, or they do not get the platform to have the voice that they have.
Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the ball. It's a big club. And you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long, when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue, these are people of modest means, continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't care about you at all, at all, at all. Yeah. You know? And nobody seems to notice, nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant, because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
If you stop for a second and you just look at the bigger picture, and you check out for a minute, and you kind of compare the ancient times to today. Well, back then they had demigods and gods. They were like Achilles, Hercules, Apollo, Mercury, all these were demagogues. And that's who the people in those days looked up to. Well, today we have all these people like Jay-Z, Rihanna, Beyonce, Lady Gaga, Katy Perry. In film, we have Brad Pitt, Will Smith. We have all these big stars. And the way they prop them up and they put them up on stage is like they're gods or demigods.
In this room are some of the most important TV and film executives in the world, people from every background, but they all have one thing in common. They're all terrified of Ronan Farrow. He's coming for you. He's coming for you. Look, talking of all you perverts, it was a big year. It was a big year for paedophile movies. Surviving R. Kelly, Leaving Neverland, Two Popes. Shut up. Shut up. I don't care. I don't care.
Most people don't want to cross the psychological line that this stuff is going on. And we all have a mental defense mechanism. It's like finally admitting there's an elite pedophile ring. I mean, most people just don't want to go there. And the same is here. You, psychologically, you lose your safety, your security, and whatever innocence you have when you realize that this stuff is really going on. And it's a chore to cross over that barrier and realize, oh my gosh, this stuff is really happening. And that's why it takes critical thinking. The people have got to look at this stuff critically and see what they're being fed so they can cross that psychological line that they just refuse to see it when it's right in front of them.
When Kevin said there's an elite pedophile ring, well, I'm thinking to myself, this is a hard thing for me to come to terms with. Now, it made me start thinking about conversations and things I'd heard, but I'd never saw it. It's not out in the open. And to me, I was like, no one could do that. Because, I mean, if I saw someone hurting a kid, I would kill them. I mean, I would literally kill them. I would never allow someone to hurt a child in front of me. Things Kevin was saying were things that were hard for me to cross the barrier. I did not want to believe it. I didn't want to go there. But as I went down this journey, I forced myself to go consider, what if this is real? And the only person that was talking about this stuff was a girl named Liz Crokin. And the media had declared her completely out of her mind. But as I started researching some of the things she was reporting on, I was like, there's truth to what she's saying. So I want to talk to her.
I started working in journalism at a very young age. I got my first job working for Fox Chicago at about the age of 17 years old at the University of Iowa. I studied political science and journalism. One semester, I interned for Bill O'Reilly at Fox News Channel. My last year in college, I interned for the State Department's White House reporter, and that placed me reporting in the White House every single day for a few months. I went on to work for the Chicago Tribune, and my first boss there told me that everything that I should get should be checked over and over and over again and verified to death. That's how I was trained, and that's what a true, honest journalist does. I started covering local politics and local hard news, and then eventually I got my own column for 7 years where I interviewed tons of celebrities and politicians and musicians and worked at Us Weekly, and then at one point I worked at In Touch Weekly magazine. But then in 2015, I felt the need to get back into covering hard news, and in early 2016 I started working for Town Hall, and then eventually I started working for the New York Observer and broke a lot of election-related stories. I worked in media for over 2 decades, and I never had any issues. I was very well respected. I basically was embraced by the mainstream media until I started reporting on Pizzagate. Now, when Pizzagate came out, the media tried to turn Pizzagate into something that wasn't.
Surprises of the presidential campaign was the explosion of fake news on the internet. 28-year-old Edgar Welch was arrested in Washington Sunday afternoon outside Comet Ping Pong, a popular family pizza parlor. D.C. police say Welch fired at least one round into the restaurant floor with an AR-15 rifle like this one on his Facebook page. No one was injured.
Someone on Twitter, whose name remains unverified but has several thousand followers, posted that new emails found on Anthony Weiner's computer confirmed that Hillary Clinton was involved in a pedophilia ring. The rumor spread, inspiring some newfound internet sleuths to start digging around in John Podesta's hacked emails, searching for proof and location of the so-called sex ring.
In those emails, they are absolutely littered with code words. And many of these code words are food words, such as pizza.
Somebody said to me, "Hey, Dave, search for pizza in Podesta's emails." And once you go down that rabbit hole, you never really emerge the same person.
It was obvious from the get-go that these words were code words for something else, because the context that they were used in did not make sense.
To be clear, not one single email in the Podesta emails discusses child sex trafficking or pedophilia. That is a fact. But there are dozens of what seem to be strangely worded emails dealing with pizza and handkerchiefs. Investigators say that those words in the emails about pizza and the talk of handkerchiefs is code language used by pedophiles.
There is some kind of code language. They're just not talking about pizza, folks. Who phrases that? Who blocks out an hour of time to eat a slice of pizza?
You can get a service for a half an hour. You can get a massage for a half an hour, but you can't get food for a half an hour. It just absolutely makes no sense.
There's other ones like, "The realtor found a handkerchief. I think it has a map that seems pizza related." And another one is, "Obama spent $65,000 flying in pizza and hot dogs from Chicago. Are we using the same channels?"
Pizza is a well-known pedophile code word that actually has been used by law enforcement to arrest online sexual predators of children. And there's been multiple arrests that have been made by law enforcement of pedophiles trying to solicit children by using the pedophile code word pizza.
2007, unclassified FBI document. That document, according to the FBI, contains commonly used symbols by pedophiles to express their preference in children. Notice this one on the end, the triangle? That image signifies something called boy love. The pizza place next door to Comet Ping Pong Pizza, Best of Pizza, well, this was their logo until only a few weeks ago.
People don't know that because the mainstream media refuses to cover it.
The entire mainstream media redefined what Pizzagate was to make it sound ridiculous and less believable. And then they had people like Megyn Kelly come in, interview James Elefantis, didn't ask him any challenging questions.
A conspiracy theory that even the DC police say has no basis in fact.
She didn't ask him any questions about the pictures of children on his Instagram page looking abused, being sexualized. She didn't ask him about the pedophile talk. So the whole mainstream media painted him as this poor victim, as this person that was innocent, that was just victimized, as something that wasn't true. But just his Instagram page alone should have been enough for authorities to look into him.
Investigators have already proven there's nothing to the story, right? Well, actually, no. And that's what you need to know. For all that is here, there has not been one single public investigation of any of this, not from local police, not from the FBI, no one. And that has to be the big question, not for Podesta or for pizza parlor owners, but for law enforcement. Based on what may be or may not be here, the big question is, why hasn't any investigation taken place?
This is insane.
So many people in the mainstream media have said Pizzagate is a conspiracy theory. Pizzagate has been debunked. It has not been debunked. If it's been debunked, explain the code words. No one to this day, including John Podesta himself, can explain the code words in his emails.
"Hey, John Podesta, can you please explain why you have children rented for entertainment for your adult hot tub parties?" No one has ever explained why John Podesta has literal pedophile and cannibalism paintings all over his office and his home. Tony Podesta too. And then you look into the spirit cooking dinners, and you look into Marina Abramovic, who's the one that was conducting the spirit cooking dinners. Why are they going to spirit cooking dinners? Why are they sacrificing chicken to Moloch in their backyard? This isn't my words, this is their words. This is in their emails.
I'd be willing to debate anyone who thinks that Pizzagate has been debunked.
You asked me when, am I getting additional briefings? That was the first and last time I talked
to you. So October 9th is the last time you've heard from the FBI at all?
Yes.
You have not gotten an update on the investigation in your personal email?
That is correct.
So not only did the mainstream media lie to you about Pizzagate, they actually told you that it was illegal to read John Podesta's emails on WikiLeaks. Chris Cuomo, with a straight face, on CNN, looked into the cameras and said, it's illegal for you to read John Podesta's emails.
Also interesting is, remember, it's illegal to possess these stolen documents. It's different for the media. So everything you learn about this, you're learning from us.
That's
from
how scared us, they are of those emails. Us. And that's how explosive the content in those emails are. That they felt the need that they had to tell you, you could not read those emails. And if you do, you might get arrested. Lie.
It's different for the media. So everything you learn about this, you're learning from us.
People that blow the whistle on elite pedophiles tend to have accidents. And a lot of those people have died mysteriously.
NBC News has learned that disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein is dead. Epstein took his own life while he was behind bars.
There's absolutely no excuse for this. What happened here to me is mind-boggling. The guy was a high-risk prisoner, wasn't he? I mean, he's a guy that there are probably 50 very important people that have a motive to kill him. We don't even know who they are. It's true. But we know there are some people that are in a lot of trouble because of Epstein. They know who they are.
His flight logs contain names of some of the biggest, most famous, and most powerful people on the planet. Members of the royal family, Prince Andrew, models like Naomi Campbell, famous actors like Kevin Spacey, Bill Clinton on those flight logs over 25 times. Hillary Clinton, she's also been to the island. So the bigger question is, how many people that went on his private jet, that went to his private island, that went to his massive ranch in New Mexico, were also involved in the rape, torture, and trafficking of children?
It hides in plain sight. Epstein was hiding in plain sight. We all knew about him. We all knew what he was doing. But we had no one that was, legal aspect that would go after him. They were afraid of him. For whatever reason, they were afraid of
and
him.
And the amazing thing about Cindy McCain is that her husband was a senator. She was on a board with the governor of Texas. She knew about Jeffrey Epstein. She did nothing. And her organization, the role of her organization is supposed to be to stop people like Jeffrey Epstein. They all knew. They did nothing about it. When Ricky Gervais said at the Golden Globes, you're all friends of Jeffrey Epstein, he wasn't lying.
So in the end, he obviously didn't kill himself, just like Jeffrey Epstein. Shut up. I know he's your friend, but I don't care. You had to make your own way here in your own plane, didn't you? Right. But
and how many of those elites have been to his island? Not only is the mainstream media complicit, I would argue that there are accessories in the crimes against children.
She told me everything. She had pictures. She had everything. She was in hiding for 12 years. We convinced her to come out. We convinced her to talk to us. It was unbelievable what we had. Clinton. We had everything. I tried for 3 years to get it on to no avail, and now it's all coming out, and it's like these new revelations, and I freaking had all of it. I'm so pissed right now. Like, every day I get more and more pissed because I'm just like, oh my God, what we had was unreal. Brad Edwards, the attorney, 3 years ago saying, like, there will come a day where we will realize Jeffrey Epstein was the most prolific pedophile this country has ever known. And I had it all 3 years ago.
Then what happened in early 2018? Keith Raniere, who ran the NXIVM child sex trafficking cult, was arrested. Who else was arrested? Allison Mack, she's a famous celebrity who was on Smallville. She was also arrested for being a member of this cult that was involved in trafficking children. And not only trafficking children, they were running preschools down in Mexico. And NXIVM is another example of how these elite pedophile rings exist, because this was a massive organization. This was funded by really wealthy people, including the Seagram heiresses, Nancy Salzman and Claire Bronfman. So obviously they were using those preschools to traffic children. And the cult also engaged in human torture experiments on some of their members. And there actually was a civil lawsuit that was filed by 90 of their victims just the other day. So I imagine we are gonna hear more about the human experiments, the torturing, the sexual abuse, and the child sex trafficking in this civil lawsuit. And a lot of the techniques that we see in this cult are very similar to the techniques that our government used in the MKUltra program.
You guys are branding women with Keith's initials, and they were like, well, what's the bad thing exactly about that? Everyone on the outside world, aka the real world, is like, they're branding women. So I left, I went to the executive board and I said, I want my photos back, I want my videos back. The branding session was filmed. I want all of that back, I want my collateral back. None of that happened.
And it's the same fear, mind control, and you'll be destroyed if you cross, get into the upper elites. And if you get to that point, if you start revealing anything, they have the same system to completely destroy you, destroy your career, blackmail you like Epstein, keep you, catch you, film you in compromising positions. And this goes both within Hollywood and celebrities and some of the elite. And it also goes on in Congress and the Senate. And if they even insinuate that they're going to reveal some of these things, they're done.
The powerful people that be, whether it's the music industry or the movie industry, you are only allowed a certain level of success if you are willing to join their club. If you're willing to be part of their secret society, or if you're compromised. They will not let someone obtain a lot of fame and power if they can't control you.
A classic example, at least for me, is Katy Perry. Katy Perry was a gospel singer, very talented, but she was going nowhere. And she got up to Hollywood and basically they said, you want to be a success? You play by our rules. You step into the occult and you start putting that in your videos. And now she's doing videos with her in hell with satanic themes, and she's what? Highly successful. You see that over with Lady Gaga, who came out and actually said she was so tired of being handled and manipulated, she had to take a break.
That this is this young, outrageous girl, wears strange clothes. She's into extremes. She's experimental. She have 43 million people on the Twitter following her, whatever she do, little monsters. And she came really very humble to my house and asked me if I can teach her. We made this workshop in the woods, and she was such a good student. She never cheated. She really went much farther than I asked her for.
She is a limitless human being. As myself, a self-proclaimed pop performance artist, want to go home and slit my wrists, and I, you know, I am nothing. I have achieved no sense of art. She is so boundless.
Kako za performance zbog Lady Gaga odjednom su počeli se interesovati za moj rad. Tako da prešao sam iz te, mislim, normalne kulture u mas kulturu, što je.
Marina Abramović, of course, is in the Podesta emails, and she's the one that conducts the spirit cooking dinners. She said that Marina did an exercise with her where she stripped her completely naked and left her in the middle of the woods to fend for herself and find her way back. Those are the kinds of things that people who are behind the MKUltra programs do to children that they're mind controlling. We know Marina Abramović is a Satanist. You Google Marina Abramović's name in spirit cooking and you will find hundreds of pictures of Marina Abramović's events where they will have, for example, a cake that looks like a human being and they'll depict human cannibalism. And they claim they're not engaging in cannibalism. And you will find A-list actors and famous politicians and other very famous and successful, powerful business people at her events. They literally have food that look like human beings on dinner tables.
He's Italian and Greek, I mean, you know.
And a very good cook.
And a very good cook. And I'm sure there's something very nefarious about that risotto recipe. So,
after I started researching the cult, I learned that Satanists believe that they have to reveal who they are in some way, shape, or form. So that is why we see a lot of these occult members in Hollywood constantly flaunting symbolism. We see the pyramid, the Illuminati pyramid a lot. We see the evil one eye constantly. It's always on the cover of magazines. We see these are supposed to be the 666 devil symbols. We constantly see those symbols. We also see pedophile symbols, the swirl or the triangle within a triangle.
I guarantee this wasn't his first.
And we also see a lot of these members of the cult go on their social media and they talk about raping children. They talk about worshiping Satan. And people write it off as a joke, but they're not joking. I don't care if you're a major comedian. You can't tell me that's funny, because there is no joke about raping children that's funny.
You don't know what that is.
I have no idea.
Oh, you don't know. Jimmy Fallon doesn't know. David Letterman doesn't know.
We don't know.
All the comics and show business don't know what this is.
Takes guts to put out a film that does this, because no one's done it up until now. But when that's done and people see these facts and they say, my gosh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that about the Gulf of Tonkin. I didn't know that about the Vietnam War. My gosh. And they go in and they check it out and it's all true. And now they're seeing the dots. And a good film will teach them how to practice critical thinking, to analyze what you're watching. If we can get people to analyze what they're watching, we've crossed a huge hurdle. Because once they start analyzing it, they're going to see the dots. And typically, the dots will connect themselves.
Liz Crokin put herself so far out in front that she was mocked. She was laughed at. She was called crazy. Well, let me ask you a question. For all those people that did that to Liz, does she seem so crazy now?
When you put all of those facts together and you use critical thinking, you realize this stuff is real. There's not one smoking gun. There's many small smoking guns that you have to piece together, and you have to use critical thinking to understand this stuff is real. So again, the bigger question is, now that Jeffrey Epstein's been exposed and he's allegedly dead, how many of his friends that were frequent visitors on his sex trafficking island were also involved in the rape, torture, and trafficking of children? And that's what Pizzagate is.
I guess what I'm asking you all to do is just disconnect for a second, stand back, look at the lyrics of your songs, look at the agendas of the movies, look at the messages of the media that you're absorbing. Because it's impossible to say that all of it's bad, like all of Hollywood's bad. That's not true. Like, it's like saying all the CIA is bad. There's a lot of good people that work in both industries that aren't bad people. But if the people that control the narratives and the agendas are not good people and they have different agendas, they can put that on you and you won't even notice it unless you stand back and look at things objectively.
I can't compromise anymore.
That, for me, that's not what life's about. I want to send a good message to my kids, and I want them to know that at the end of the day, their dad did what was right, and their dad fought for the good things in life. If I could ever get the opportunity to make movies that send out good messages, and then people start realizing that they can be good, and that there are, they can jump on the bandwagon of good, that's the next phase. People start believing it. It's the same thing with desensitizing with the violence. People start believing that it's okay to kill somebody, or watching somebody die isn't a big deal. You start, when people aren't helping other people in need on the streets, there's a problem in this world. But this could all be changed right now. The reason why I'm doing this documentary is because I want to be one of the first people to come out and say, hey, it doesn't have to be like this. We are good people. Humans are good, and we can make the world a better place, because the money and the technology to make this world a better place is there. It's just been covered up and controlled for so long that it's time for it all to come out. And maybe I'm the catalyst for something better.
What does the media look like in the future? Well, to me, what I would hope is that it's not filtered. I would love to build a platform or build some sort of system where artists could connect directly to their audience. I want to make products and tell stories that bring humanity together, that bring compassion, that bring love, that bring forgiveness, that bring inspiration and courage back to the audience without having the influence of violence or gratuitous sex or gratuitous death or gratuitous horror. Because those are things and images that get stored in our psyche and our soul. And I don't think that's the way that this earth was intended to be.
If you want to do anything worthwhile in life, you've got to be hungry. It's better to be prepared for an opportunity and not have one than to have an opportunity and not be prepared. So every day I was working to develop myself. And that's what you must do.
I promise you one thing. You have never seen any player in the entire country play as hard as I will play the rest of the season.
Get in here! Hey, we got 30 minutes for the rest of our lives!
30 minutes!
30 minutes for the rest of our lives!
There were none before me, and there will be none after me. Therefore, that makes me the one and only. Young and single and love to mingle, certified, bona fide, indubitably qualified to bring you satisfaction, a whole lot of action. Look out, baby, I'm your love man. I was hungry! You gotta be hungry!
Hey, Flyover family, come join us June the 27th and 28th, 2024, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We're going to be there with Clay Clark, an amazing group of individuals that have made such a difference in so many people's lives.
Do you want to increase your production in a job? Do you want to make more sales? Do you want to own your own business? Do you want to have breakthroughs financially? The key to that is knowledge.
Clay Clark is anointed to help people in business. We've watched him over the last couple of years, and we've been blown away. He's part owner of over 160 businesses, $2.4 billion in sales.
Before politics and the Great Reset came into Clay's life, he had the number one rated Apple podcast. And he interviewed people like Anthony Robbins, Seth Godin, the top authors, the top business minds in the world. At this specific event, there was an interesting cast of characters that come from gangs to American Idol.
Some of the guests that are going to be there: Michael Levine, Colton Dixon, Peter Tompkins, John Lee Dumas, Mondo de la Vega,
and Tim Tebow. They're there to share what they've done and their breakthroughs and what their story is. And then Clay lays his map of business success, calls the path for every person to follow.
So you may be sitting there thinking, okay, I get it. What do I have to do? Go to thrivetimeshow.com. When you get there, the tickets are $250 or whatever you can afford. Yes, you got that right. $250 or whatever you can afford. You can name your price. So there are no excuses. You have to join us there. There are only a few VIP tickets left, like David said, special dinner and special time with the speakers. That is $500 why they last. So $500, only a few left if you want a VIP ticket. We want to meet these speakers as well, so we got VIP tickets.
I want to meet Tim Tebow.
I do too. The date is June the 27th and 28th, 2024 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Go to ThriveTimeShow.com to get your tickets. This is a crazy time to be alive.
Well, just in our lifetime, used to be where you'd hear your grandparents talk about how cheap gas was and stuff, and it was 75 years before, 50 years you know, before.
And so we've seen a lot of changes since Biden took office. $700 more a month
than what you needed in January of 21 when he took office.
You might hear these kind of things and think, oh, that's overwhelming. I can't control the government. I can't control what they're doing. I can't control the spending. But we can take care of ourselves.
You want to make sure that you're buying bullion from somebody that you can trust and someone that does not charge you a commission when you go to sell.
If there's going to be a commission, have it on the front end, not the back end when it skyrockets. And now you're like, oh my gosh, look at this big, huge commission I got to pay because it's on the back end before I sell it.
You can buy an ounce of silver for $23. So this is something everybody can get into. And if silver goes to $50, if it goes to $75, if it goes to $100, all of those profits are yours. And that's happening while the dollar is buying less and less at the actual grocery store.
So you can go to flyovergold.com, fill out your information. When you do that, someone from Dr. Kirk's team will get a hold of you to set up a free consultation. It doesn't cost you any money whatsoever. Or to do the same thing, you can just call 720-605-3900. For more great content, go to flyoverconservatives.com.